This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Feline friends, welcome to Cattitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. So many of you are so passionate about your cats and so passionate about, you know, what goes on in the feline world for those cats you can't rescue. We're going to talk to someone who is doing something about that and really helping nonprofits, but small nonprofits. We'll be right back after this break. Michelle Fern here, and you know saving cats is near and dear to my heart. Did you know that there is an estimated 70 to 100 million free-roaming cats in the United States? And without spay-neuter, that number will keep growing. Not only does spay-neuter mainly reduce the community cat population, but it also keeps cats healthier. Scooter, the neutered cat, is on a mission to give cats an extra life by making it hip to be snipped. Visit his website, givethem10.org, to help pioneer a better world for cats. That's givethem10, spelled out, T-E-N.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Sally Williams. She is the founder and president of Mission Meow. I'm so happy to have you on Cattitude.
Thank you so much for having me as a guest. I'm really, really excited.
I'm so excited to have you. So, and we were chatting a little before. You've listened to a lot of the show. You know that, you know, TNR and is near and dear to my heart. And I have so much compassion for everybody that does their part, no matter how big or how small, in the feline community for rescues and so forth.
It could be overwhelming, but you can make a difference in so many different ways. It's just, you know, it's, yes, TNR is one of the most important ways, but it's also one of the hardest ways. And that's the thing that everybody can do, but everybody can do something. That's what I like to think.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about Mission Meow. What is it?
So Mission Meow is an organization that I like to say makes dreams come true. So we give large grants to small feline-centric nonprofits across the U.S. And we do it kind of in a unique way because the foundation of the organization is what we call kind of business crowdfunding. And then, of course, we have our amazing individual donors. But the foundation, because we know that they give to us in a fundraising quarter. So we give grants in a quarterly way. So we launched in October of 2022, and then that was our first grant. And then come January, it's another grant. Come April, it's another. So it gives us time to kind of get ourselves back and organized. And it also takes time to review applications for the next one. But so back to the business partners, the reason why they're the foundation of the organization is they commit to give every quarter. So we basically know how much money we have to start with before any individual donation or a grant. We get grants too. So before all of those come in, we have an idea of how much money we have. And then we can go bigger because we know we're going to have more money. And then whatever could possibly be left over goes back into the bank and is there for the next grant to give so that we know we can give even more. Our goal is to every quarter either give more in multiples of grants or more in the amount of grants, but specifically to small nonprofits, because they're the ones that, if people don't realize, especially since COVID, across the U.S. have been really struggling, and they're doing amazing work, but it's really hard right now, and especially during kitten season.
Yes, kitten season is definitely challenging. What made you decide to start this? Like, where did you see maybe a space in the feline community? Now, where'd you see a hole that said, you know what, if somebody was doing this, this could help a lot more?
Yeah. So just so people know, I have a background. I founded a previous nonprofit and ran a pet cancer fund for almost 9 years, a national organization. So my background was in running a nonprofit, but I'm also immersed in my local rescue community as somebody who volunteers, donates time, donates money when I can as well. And there was an organization that I've been involved with for a long time called Catsbury Park in Asbury Park, New Jersey. And during COVID, they had to move from their cafe space. It became something that they just couldn't keep up with financially anymore. And this was happening at a rate that was just massive across the US. So what they did was they downsized. And because people really weren't coming in face-to-face for adoptions, they pivoted and started doing a lot more TNR. And so I thought, wow, you know, I wonder how prevalent this is. Is this something that's happening everywhere? And truly it was. And so I started reaching out to different people who I knew that were running organizations, and then they'd connect me to somebody else, to somebody else. And it was a common theme that organizations were struggling, and that not just financially, but with burnout. And so what I don't think people realize is that, you know, we're all familiar with the bigger, everybody's got a big organization in their backyard. I have one. People know who Best Friends Animal Society is. People generally know who North Shore Animal League is. We know who they are, and they're very well funded. But not everybody may know that there's far more small nonprofits across the U.S. And they're the ones that are really the boots on the ground. And without those organizations doing the really hard work, we're in trouble, especially with TNR, which is trap, neuter, return for anybody that doesn't. I mean, that's what's going to control the cat population. And so these small nonprofits really, they need our help financially. But what I also, I didn't really understand until I started giving the grants was it's like 1A, 1B. They need the money. It pays for a program or a purchase or something that's just out of their reach. But what it also gives them is they feel seen, heard, and validated by a community that cares about them. And that goes a very long way when these people are struggling with something that's called burnout. And so it's so important in both ways. So that was kind of where I came from. You know, I saw something happen in my local community. I just thought, okay, if it's happening here, it's probably happening other places. I had no idea how many organizations were facing these kinds of issues. And I thought, well, you know, I successfully ran one nonprofit, closed it only because it was so hard to sustain myself in the pet cancer world. I've lost 4 cats to cancer now. And I wanted to do something that would be important for the organizations, but that would also bring me joy. And this brings me so much joy. It's incredible.
I can imagine. So it also, as you're talking about this, you know, your expertise is here. A lot of the smaller nonprofits, their expertise might be feline centric, you know, as far as either with donations of food or collecting that or that, but not so much raising money. And the other thing is, and you had mentioned this too, about validity, because there's a lot of nonprofits. There are a lot of several, you know, I've not ever created a nonprofit. I'm sure there's, you know, there's several loopholes you have to go through, but people get inundated, you know, I'm a nonprofit. Can you donate? Can you donate? With your business, you are taking a great deal of weight off their shoulders as far as you can focus on what you're good at, and we can help you with this. I mean, you can't sustain them, I think, you know, fully financially, but you can definitely help quite a bit, because most of the nonprofits are people volunteering, I imagine. Anyway.
Exactly. Most of the organizations we're helping don't have staff. We've helped organizations with budgets as little as $65,000 for a year, which is so tiny. They usually have, you know, full-time jobs. They're doing this because they love it, because they love cats. They want to give back. TNR is hard work. Working in a shelter is hard work. Fostering is hard work. All these things, they're not easy. People are doing this out of love. And it's hard to then have the time to fundraise. You know, they barely have the time to do what they're doing. And if you're small, you don't have the bandwidth to raise this kind of money because you don't have the reach. You reached out to your community and eventually you can tap out. The funds just aren't there. You can't keep asking the same people for money over and over and over. So what we've done is take that away from them. You know, they don't have to worry about that. They apply. Here's the thing. When they apply for a grant with us, we don't pay rent. We don't pay for food, litter, or medical bills. They have to be organized enough that they're able to take care of the cats and the basics. What they can't do is potentially renovate when they need to, pay for trap, neuter, return supplies to expand their organization, to build a catio, to pay for a transport van. These are the kinds of things that can cost a lot of money that I actually, in my research, saw capital campaigns being started by organizations and then they stall. You know, they get going and the money's coming in, but then again, they've reached all their donors and it slows. And then a lot of times what happens is something happens, whether it's a medical emergency, ringworm, a washing machine breaks, a leak, anything, they dip into those funds and now their capital campaign is gone. These are organizations, I'm telling you, that do the most amazing work. When I talk to the directors of the organizations, the volunteers, people in all different positions, they're so proud of what they're doing and they accomplish so much, but they just don't have the reach to raise these kind of, you know, funds. But it's so important for them to have it.
We're going to get into more stories in the second half, but before we break, do you not supply some of the basics because you want to make sure that, I mean, if a nonprofit is so small that they can't even, and just talking theoretical here, but if they can't sustain themselves in the basics, then how long are they going to be functioning?
That's exactly it.
You have responsibilities with what you do, because if you were just doling out, right?
You hit the nail right on the head.
Okay.
So we evaluate budgets. And then we see that they're able to maintain everything that they need to be doing to caring for the cats. And that's their focus and should be. We want to give them something above and beyond that that's out of their reach. But we need to, I mean, anything could happen theoretically. You know what I mean? There could be some tragedy. But we do our due diligence in doing a lot of research before grants are given.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back and hear some stories to share about some of the nonprofits that you help. We'll be right back. Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your Cat Tree Tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Sally Williams. She is the founder and president of Mission Meow, and we talked about what Mission Meow does in the first half. Now we're going to hear some stories. Can you share with us some stories? How do nonprofits find out about you, or do you find out about them, or is it a little of both?
We just try to push out the message as much as possible. So I spend a lot of time in social media, and then we ask, okay, if you've received a grant from us, make sure that you're sharing with this with your community. I have a lot of friends. We ask our business partners as well. So we have a really good reach. I founded an organization that was for burnout in the rescue community, and I promote it in there all the time. And it's all it's for is people in cat rescue. So we have lots of different ways of getting the word out. There is not a lack of applications coming in, that's for sure. So basically, we tried to keep the application as easy as possible. We don't want these organizations to feel overwhelmed. They have enough of that going on. My favorite part of the application is we ask for something, I call it our passion page. We want them to share why they love what they do. Then they get into nitty-gritties about, you know, the financials and all that kind of stuff. And then lastly, what they're asking for. So they break down what they need the money for. And then we dig in and we pick our grant winners. Right now, we're in a grant month. As I said, we give quarterly. And we've done things. So our very first one, as I said, was here in New Jersey with Catsbury Park. Those they renovated after having to leave this big, beautiful space. So the renovations are still ongoing, actually. Another one that I absolutely loved was Love Your Feral Felines. We helped them launch a foster program. And what we did was we paid for kitten kits for them, which allowed them to bring in 30 foster families and supply them with everything that they would need to become a foster. And they called it All You Need Is Love, because that's all they needed. We gave them everything else. An organization called FC3, we paid for, I hate to use the word shed because it's like so beautiful. It's this big, beautiful shed, a concrete slab, and HVAC. And they're a TNR organization that needed a place to bring the kitties after they have spay-neuter surgery. So now they have this beautiful shed that's temperature controlled. They go out, they do their TNR, they take their cats for the appointments, and now they have a safe place to rehab after. We actually had a month where we had picked our organization, and then there was a second organization that we really, really wanted to help, but we were very early on and we weren't sure how we could pull off giving two grants in 1 month at that point. But this organization needed a fire alert system, and it became something that I said to my board, I can't sleep at night. I know there's an organization out there that has cats in their care and they don't have a fire alert system. So we just dug deep, reached out to donors, asked our business partners if they can contribute anything extra, and we were able to pay for a fire alert system, all new ceiling tiles and lighting for them. And that to me was really exciting because it showed our growth and our potential. We have given organizations a lot of TNR out there. So trap, recovery cages, incubators, the one right now, the organization, this one is huge for me. The organization had a second building that was available to them, and they were able to repair the roof and paint it. But what they needed was everything on the inside to start a clinic for them. So we are raising money right now to give them a grant, which will pay for, we actually got them free flooring. I managed to find somebody who donated flooring. So we took that out of the grant. We're paying for electrical, for plumbing, exam tables, shelving, vaccinations, test kits, an incubator, stethoscope, all the things that they need so they can start caring for their cats. And it's going to save them a lot of money because then you're not going off to the vet all the time. They can do a lot of the things that they need in-house. So for us to help an organization launch a clinic that they're hoping eventually to turn also into a low-cost spay-neuter, that to me is one of the most exciting. We're also going to be building a catio for an organization. That's how they're spending their grants. So there's so many possibilities that are just amazing.
Have you had any situations where one of the nonprofits, you know, really helped them on all legs rather than say they were on two, now they're on four. We're talking cats, right? So, you know, maybe they were partially there and with your assistance, they were really going. Have they been able to pay it forward to help maybe a smaller nonprofit or do more work for the feline community in their community?
I'm not sure. A lot collaborate, but our grants specifically go to those organizations. So they have impact in their community, but the funds that don't reach another organization, if that's what you're asking.
I think it's just by nature of what they're doing. So say you're helping, you know, the organization that you said with, you know, the vet care and whatever.
Yes.
Have they been able to do any, or do they do anything with maybe, it might not be smaller nonprofits, but smaller volunteers, like you said, you were able to get 30 foster started with one organization. So it's kind of like pay it forward. You know what I mean? It keeps going.
It does. I mean, so you never know how you're going to reach somebody. I mean, so to bring in 30 new volunteers, what does that do?
That's huge. And how do you know that from the 30, somebody tells a friend and then you end up with maybe another
more? And you also potentially end up with donors, new donors, because you don't know in that group of volunteers who now doesn't, may become part of your board, become part of, you know, and those are not stories. It's something I should reach out to these organizations and say, tell us about the other things that outside of the impact, like we know the money, we know that we, you feel seen, heard, and validated, but I would love to know a story, yeah, where maybe somebody became a board member or something else exciting happened from that. That's a great idea.
I just thought it'd be interesting because
yeah,
you never know where something starts at a, I mean, hey, Pet Life Radio started with 7 shows. Now there's over 75 and the reach that we have, I mean, yeah, internet and social media, the reach is humongous, but I've had people on this show all over the place, Greece, UK, France, Australia, that was the furthest, just all over the place. And it, there's so many common threads throughout when it comes to, you know, everything about cats.
This community is so supportive of one another. It's, I find it amazing. I mean, I have now friends all over the world. And something that we did, so our organization, first and foremost, we're funding grants for small feline-centric nonprofits. But because we only give quarterly, I wanted to be immersed in the community in the other months as well. So every single month, we have a Mission Meow mentorship program that organizations can apply for. So if you're in a shelter, whether you foster or you're a TNR organization, maybe you don't need financial, but you're looking to launch a new program or you're looking for fundraising advice or you are adding foster to what you do. We have experts in the field. So you applied for a Mission Meow mentorship and you have an opportunity to have a 1-hour Zoom with an expert in that area. So not only do we give grants, but we're trying to educate people so that their organizations can continue to grow.
That's fantastic. What do you see as your goal, like say in 5 years that you would like to see happen?
Well, giving enormous grants and more. So we started with giving one grant in a month. Now we've gone to giving where we've had the ability to give 3 grants. That's something that I think is really important. There's, I mean, the hardest part of our job is to not pick more than one application. So if we can, in our quarters, initially we thought our goal was going to be, let's give a grant every single month. It's not really sustainable. We need some downtime to recuperate and start again and, you know, review the application. So we just want to be giving more grants and adding more business partners is the way we do that. So we need to get out there, meet more people, bring more business partners in, which are like, these companies are like family to us. I want to say that we call it partnership because it really is not transactional. I have a personal relationship with people in all of these companies, big, small. So just tremendous growth because we really need to save these organizations because, as I said, if these small organizations go away, I don't know if people understand that the small organizations across the U.S. are the ones that have the contracts with the townships. So they're the ones that are taking in the stray cats, the feral cats. They're the ones that take in the most difficult to adopt cats. And without them, we're in big trouble. So, you know, something else that would be exciting is if somebody else reached out to me and said, I want to do what you're doing, but on the West Coast, how do I get started? Let's do that. Let's have different Mission Meows across the country. There doesn't have to be just one. I just think teamwork always, collaboration always, but above competition. So let's spread this message.
That almost goes into my next question. Just about, how can our listeners get more involved?
So if you own a business, reach out to us. And I would like to say that any business size, and you don't have to be a cat specific business. We have realtors. We have people that are not in the cat specific world. You just need to love cats or want to help them. So you can become a business partner and don't be scared. You give what you're comfortable giving. And it's quarterly. We look for volunteers in all different areas. Are you savvy in social media? You can help us. Are you a good writer? You can help us. There are so many different ways because, you know, I'm not really out in my local community. We're out across the U.S. So there's so much potential for volunteering. And if you don't have the time to do that, you like a post, share a post, comment on it, help us get the word out. All of these things are important. I just feel like anybody can do something.
And where can people find you?
So we are missionmeow.org is our website, and you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, your typical social media, but all of our information is on our website. That's our hub. So reach us there.
Sally, thank you so much for coming on Catitude and sharing this incredible information about Mission Meow. I think there should be a Mission Meow in every state.
Oh, well, I wholeheartedly agree. And thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about my organization. All of us at Mission Meow are very grateful and so proud of the work that we're doing. So thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. I hope everybody enjoyed this show. Please be sure to check out missionmeow.org. They do fabulous work. And, you know, there's always something you can contribute in your community to help the cats. So thank you, Sally, so much for coming on Catitude. Thank you for everybody that listens to Catitude. I greatly appreciate it. Thank you all. You do a great job with spreading the word about cats, you know, what cats need. And I talk about TNR a lot, but there's a lot more than TNR. So thank you, listeners of Catitude. Of course, thank you so much to my cat crew, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly. They teach me about and constantly teach me about the world of cats. And of course, thank you to my producer, Mark Winter, who this show would not be the same without his magic. And hey, remember, lose the attitude, have catitude.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.